Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in the 25th chapter, and we've just finished reading verses 39 and 40, and we've been talking about this, the issue of slavery, and so we want to get back to that.
You know, it's, to me, it's extremely important to understand this. You can't, if you don't understand this part, you don't understand your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, the contrast between servant and slave is that you pay a servant for his services. Okay? A slave is actually bought. Right? And then that one who buys that slave is responsible for properly taking care of that slave and meeting all the needs of that slave. Have you ever read that you've been bought with a price? And so we were slaves to sin. Whatever rules over you is your master. You with me? And this is another thing people don't realize. If you have any kind of habit or vice or whatever, that thing dominates you. It doesn't matter what it is. You are the slave to it because it's ruling over you. Habits rule over people. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I know back years ago, way back, my brother used to be a very heavy smoker. And we were going somewhere, and that was actually giving me a headache because it was wintertime, and we were enclosed in the car, and we stopped to get something to eat, and I said, man, I've got to do something about this headache. And he said, well, what's wrong? I said, all that smoke. And he said, well, why didn't you tell me? I said, it's your car. I'm the passenger. And he said, well, I can quit anytime I want to. I said, no, you can't. They said, yes, I can. I said, no, you can't. It's got you. Well, I'll just show you. And he couldn't quit, and he couldn't quit. I'm going to tell you, it took God in his work and in his life to get him delivered from that master that he was enslaved to. But people say, no, I can quit anytime I want to. When he told me that, I said, well, if you can, quit. You with me? This is what happens with people, alcoholics or drugs, whatever the case may be, any kind of substance. That thing's a master. It's the same way with food. Some people are addicted to food, and they have what's called, people call, medical calls, eating disorder. What is that? It's that you are letting your body, your belly, if you will, control your life. Just like an alcoholic lets alcohol control his life, or a drug addict lets a drug control its life. What do you do? You're enslaved to that. And so we were enslaved to sin because it was just our natural tendency to sin. We could say, I don't want to, but we'll turn around and do it, like the 7th chapter of Romans talks about. You follow me? What I want to do, I don't. What I don't want to do, I do. What is that? It's the sin working in you. So you're a slave to that. Paul says it this way, to whom you obey, you're his servant. So God bought us and changed masters. You understand? He bought us from that master by paying the penalty. And so now he owns us. But I dare say most Christians don't see God owning them. They see themselves maybe working for God, but they're expecting wages. God, if I do this for you, then you need to pay me. You need to do this. You need that. Preachers are the world's worst. You understand? Not realizing that he owns us. And so if I do what God told me to do, why am I looking for somebody to pat me on the back and give me praise? I just did what I'm supposed to do. You with me? But everybody today, we want recognition. We're looking for this. We're wanting these accolades. We want to be rewarded for this and rewarded for that. What's in it for me? Preachers, you know, they look at churches to go to churches and they want to know what the church pays. I have one question for you, and that's the only question you ever need to answer. Did God tell you to do it? Then if God told you to do it, you don't even need to discuss the rest of it. He is responsible for meeting your needs. I know before I went into ministry working secular work, the Lord dealt with me about that. That he told me that job was not my source of income. And not to ever look at that company as my source of income. He said, I'm using this company to meet your needs. But this company could go bankrupt tonight. And if you're dependent on the company, then you're out in the dry. But if you see me as your source never runs out. The day that company's not in business. It's pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. And so what is that? I see myself as owned by God. Now, you have to understand how I make this statement. This is not an egotistical statement. God, by his own character, is under obligation to take care of me, his property. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of relationship that Paul had with God. That's the kind of relationship Peter had with God. That's the kind of relationship God wants the body of Christ to have with them. And they absolutely adored their master. Even under the Levitical law, if a man hired himself out, went to work for this guy, and he's, you know, the year comes, the seventh year comes, the year of release, the jubilee comes, the year... I love my master. I want to keep on working for my master. Then he was to go to the doorpost, put his ear to the doorpost, and he put it all through his ear, pierced his ear, and that said, I am a slave to this man. You with me? People today pierce their ear and don't know what it means. You with me? Well, I don't have my ears pierced, but I'm a slave to Jesus Christ to have my heart pierced.
Amen.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of relationship God wants us to have with him. I will never abuse you. I will never take advantage of you. I will always do right by you. I am your provider. I'll feed you. I'll clothe you. But I'll also correct you if you get out of line. Now, why would I not want to serve and submit myself to someone who is looking out for my best interest? The problem is Christians don't have that revelation. We just want to hire ourselves out rather than become slaves of the Lord. Thank God I'm a free slave. Now let me explain that. I volunteered for slavery.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the draft, which they don't have these days. But when I turned 18, draft was in effect. And a war was in effect. I volunteered. You understand? I did not get drafted. I volunteered. And so what gripe do I have? I chose to do that. I signed the line. And so if everything's not going like I think it should go, I don't have any right to argue about it because I'm the one that made the choice. Do you understand? And in making that choice, it takes you in through some, in my situation, some undesirable circumstances. Well, God will lead you through what your flesh would deem as undesirable circumstances. But there's one thing for certain. You don't go through anything. He's not right there with you.
Amen.
He lives in you. He's going through everything you go through. He said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why wouldn't I want to serve that master? You understand? He has me covered. You follow me? You get an idea of this thing about being a slave of Jesus Christ? And so all these things that you're seeing in here in the Old Testament is actually pointing to. You're a slave. But if you've never been born again, you're a slave to sin. God wants you out of the thing that will ultimately destroy you eternally.
Yeah.
You'll be separated from God forever. And he says, I don't want you separated from me. I'll buy you. That way you're my property and you'll always be with me. That's how I view my master. You understand? And I have no problem at all identifying with slavery. Because it's a happy slavery. Is it written?
Yeah.
And everything you hear about slavery is not true. Oh yeah, there's always people that abuse. But when this nation released slaves, they didn't want, many of them didn't want to leave because they were treated so well. They'd never had it as good in their life as they had it. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You understand? And so it's how you view and who's the master. You follow me?
Right.
People in this country are slaves to the government. They're depending upon the government to take care of them. And they don't even realize they're a slave. And the government can cut you off that quick. God won't. So just go ahead and volunteer. Amen?
Amen.
I want a bit.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes.
You have anything else you want to say to that? Now I'll tell you what volunteering in the military did. It put me in a combat zone for a year. Okay? You get in God's army, you're going to get in some combat zones. Those who oppose God will oppose you.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yes.
But God will give me the fire support I need. You understand? He won't do like this government and hang you out to dry. He won't leave you out there, you know, 100 against 2,000. God will have his host covering you.
Yeah.
You with me? But I'll tell anybody that when you get born again, don't think life's going to be a bed of roses for you. No. Satan will do everything that he can to try to get you to go back into an old lifestyle. He'll try to discourage you. He'll accuse God of doing all these bad things that he's the one that the devil's doing. Mm-hmm. Like God made you sick, or God killed your baby, or God took this person, God took that person. I had a woman ask me one time, why did God take that baby? I got tired of hearing it. I said, the God I serve didn't take that baby. There's an enemy out there, and it's not God, it's the devil. Death is an enemy of God. So why are we accusing God? God will receive that baby, but he didn't kill it. You follow me? No, I have a loving Father. And I'm happy, happy, happy.
Very good. Thank you. Verse 41.
Verse what?
41.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm on the same page with you here.
Yes. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. For they are my servants, which I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondmen. Thou shalt not rule over him with rigor, but shalt fear thy God.
There's another thing that I want to bring out here. God said these Israelites were his servants. He bought them.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They're his. He brought them out of Egypt. So he said, do not sell them as slaves. They don't belong to you. They belong to me. Okay? Then he went on to say, and you do not severely rule over them. And I'm telling you that there are a lot of churches that they're under the thumb of the leadership. They rule over them and threaten them and do all kinds of things. That's not the way God rules. We're not to severely rule over one another. We're to love one another, to tell one another the truth. You understand? But we're to be ruled by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, not some man's opinion or just some man's whim. You understand? I want power. If you want the power, you don't deserve the power.
Mm.
If you're looking to lord over people, then you don't need to be put in a position over them. No, you're put in a position to serve people. Jesus came to serve. He said, you call me master? I am. But look what I'm doing. I'm washing your feet. Who washes the feet of people? It's the slave. You understand? So he said, I'm demonstrating to you how the love of God works is the essence of it. You love your fellow man. You don't take advantage of him. All these things are principles that we as born-again believers in the body of Christ should follow. Not the rules of it, but the principle of it. Where we're not taking advantage of one another. We honor one another. We respect one another. It's not my position better than your position. They're different. But yours is important. They're all important. They're just different functions that we have in the body. Okay?
Thank you. 44. Both thy bondmen and thy bondmaids, which thou shalt have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you. Of them shall you buy bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall you buy, and of their families that are with you, which they begot in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, You shall not rule over one another with rigor.
You know, that 43rd verse, the Lord says, fear God.
Yeah.
You fear God. Not man.
Yeah.
You fear God. Then he reiterates here that the Israelites were, they were allowed to buy male and female slaves from other nations. The heathen nations around them. They were also allowed to buy slaves from the foreigners who lived among them. And then that slave was passed down. You understand Hagar was Sarah's slave. She was an Egyptian, right?
Yeah.
Abraham bought her, or Sarah bought her. See, that's her slave. People miss all this by not understanding the scriptures. So they were allowed to buy, and then that was an inheritance. That's property. And it passes on to the next generation, the permanent slave. But Israelites could not be brought into slavery, and they could not severely rule over another Israelite. Not that you're to severely rule over anybody. Treat them like you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've never understood in the corporate world. And I've mentioned this to some people. They talk about having turnover. We have a lot of turnover in our company. So my question is, why? And you get to the bottom line is, they don't want to pay the person what they're worth. They don't want to give the benefit. They're so greedy, they're wanting to take everything to themselves. And here's the way I look at it. How do you think you're making money when it's costing you money? Because every new employee you get, you're having to train them. And they're having to learn that way. You're better off to pay somebody good and keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Your business should not have turnover. If it has turnover, then that's a problem in the business. You understand? I don't think God has a lot of turnover. Because he treats his people well. You understand? The last company that I worked for before I went in ministry, they had very little turnover. Because they treated you well. They treated me well. You understand? And here's the ironic thing about it, is they were heathen. They weren't born again. You understand? I mean, the guy that I worked for, he could out-cuss anybody. But that man was a man of absolute integrity, and everything he told me, he did it. And I respected that man till the day he died. You understand? They had more insight than the Christians. Treat people fairly and they'll stay with you. You look at Rehoboam. After Solomon dies, Rehoboam comes to the throne and, you know, the Israelites come over there and listen, how about relieving us of these heavy taxes your daddy has? In his arrogancy and seeking the counsel of people wet behind the ears that had no experience, costing the kingdom 10 tribes of the 12. He forsook the counsel of the old men. They said, you treat the people right, and they'll be your servants forever. You treat them right, they won't leave you. God treats us right, I don't want to leave him. You follow me? And we should be treating people right. Not just in church, but if we're in secular work, if you have people working under you, you have employees, then you treat them like you want to be treated. I had a rule of thumb. I would never ask a person to do something I wouldn't do or hadn't already done. And too many people are just wanting to point their finger and they can't even relate. And then they get upset if it's not being done fast enough. I had a guy to tell me, look, we need that, we need that, we need that. I'm laying in the floor and I'm doing everything I know to do and I'm doing the best I can. So I just got up. I said, listen, if you can do this faster, do it. If you can't shut your mouth, get back in the office. Treat people fairly. Be able to relate. Jesus walked this earth. He can relate to you. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You understand? And so we're to follow His example. And to me, this is the bottom line of all this, is take care of your brothers. Take care of your brothers. Don't treat them as slaves. And do you know that God doesn't treat you as a slave? He's made us sons. And because of that, we make ourselves His slave. You bought me and put me into your family. I'm adopted. You're right for that, right?
Yeah.
I'm adopted. I'm in the family of God. I want to serve you forever. You've been so good to me, I want to be good for you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I get too far out there, rain, just reel me back in, okay?
No. Excellent. Verse 47, and if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelt by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again of one of his brethren, one of his brethren may redeem him, either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself.
So what he's saying here is there's one set of rules, one governing document for the entire nation. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. If you're going to live in this nation, then there's one set of rules. And the leadership has the same rules as the rest of them. But boy, you don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
No, they have different rules than the common people, okay? And he says, all right, so you have a foreigner living among you, and he gets rich, and he's doing well, and you have a native-born citizen, an Israelite brother, and he gets in financial trouble and he goes to that rich foreigner to get him out of debt and all this. He said, all right, he can be ransomed from that foreigner. And in the year of Jubilee, that foreigner has to let him go. One set of rules, one set of laws.
Verse 50.
You know, God operates by that. The amazing thing about it is how the invitation is out for whosoever will to be saved. Some stay in debt and stay in debt and stay in debt, and yet God is reaching out to them. Listen, ask me. I can get you out of debt. I'll buy you back. Doesn't matter what foreigner owns you, I'll buy you back. I'll buy you. I'll ransom you. I'll redeem you. But you have to accept me as your redeemer. Are you with me? Let me tell you, God's good. And that's not just a tongue-in-cheek statement, but I don't think we realize how good God is to us and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Or you'd love him, man, would you love him? Song says, I pour my love on you. Yeah.
Good. Verse 50. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee. And the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall it be with him. If there be yet many years behind, according unto them, he shall give again the price of his redemption out of the money he was bought for. And if there remain but few years unto the year of Jubilee, then he shall count with him according unto his years, shall he give him again the price of his redemption. And as a yearly hired servant shall he be with him, and the other shall not rule with rigor over him in thy sight.
So even if an Israelite sold himself to a foreigner, he was not a slave, he was a hired servant. And they determined the value by the wages of a hired servant. What's the wage of the day? That's what determined, and it was prorated in the year of Jubilee. How many years of service that man was going to give him. How long is this employee going to work for you? That's basically what we're looking at. All right? Then this is what that would be worth based on the wages of a hired servant. So he was always to be treated as an employee, never treated as a slave, not by his own countrymen, nor by a foreigner. Here again, same rules applied to everyone.
That's good. And if he be not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Now here again, the Lord says that, an Israelite servant was... If he was redeemed, he and his children, if he were not redeemed, they'd be released in the year of Jubilee. And God said, the Israelites are my servants. I delivered them from Egypt. I am the Lord God of Israel. Therefore, no one else can be their master. I'm their master. No one else can be their master. See the principle in this?
Yeah.
What does Jesus say? A man can't serve two masters.
That's right.
You love one, hate the other. You mm-hmm. cling to one, and you have to release the other. You can't hold hands with sin and the devil, with God.
Yeah.
You know, the devil and God. There's no fellowship between Christ and Belial. There's the light and darkness have no, you know, nothing in common.
Right.
And so a believer doesn't have anything in common with an unbeliever. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
They're not to be your master. What did Israel do? This was the downfall of the nation. They wanted to serve these other gods. Well, we'll serve Baal. We'll serve Molech. We'll serve, you know, this god over here. We'll serve the god of this country. And the prophets would say, you just defeated that country.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to serve their God. They couldn't even protect their own country, and you're going to serve them. But they'd turn their back on God. They'd make somebody else their master. We have one master. We have one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we're not indebted to anyone else. That's why I would never join any of these organizations that have control over you. None. One master. One Lord. And I refuse to call people, my father, you know, I know that there's a certain group of people that their leader they call father. I won't do it. Not out of disrespect, out of obedience to the word of God. It says don't call any man your father.
Mm-hmm.
God's your father. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need a mediator. I have a mediator, Jesus Christ the righteous. So I don't need someone else going to God for me. We can go boldly to the throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our master. He's our Lord. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
I know we've said a lot, but I felt like it was necessary to get into some detail so we could understand our relationship with mm-hmm. the Lord. And there's principles being taught through here that we need to understand. We don't lord over one another. God doesn't lord over you, even though he is Lord of you. It just simply means supreme in authority. But he rules by invitation. It's not a tyrannical rule. It's not cracking the whip on you if you don't do everything right. He'll rule you out of love. Do this, it's in your best interest. Don't do that, that's not in your best interest. That'll hurt you. This will help you. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tells us to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. All right, I guess we'll stop there. We did get through that chapter, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, gin large our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, your grace is to us, you lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week and just remember who your master is.
Mm-hmm.